Welcome to the podcast of Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Here you can learn and understand the truths of God's Word so that you may live out those truths. To get a glimpse of what is taking place at our church and to hear more of Mike Frazier, visit our website, cantonbaptist.org. If you have any questions or comments, we would like to hear from you. Please email us at radio@cantonbaptist.org. Now let's join Mike Frazier.
There will be unprecedented natural disasters that will take place during the tribulation period. And there will be no disasters past or present that will compare to these catastrophic events that will take place. Jesus tells us in Matthew 24, verse 21, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." These devastating events will bring about fear and worldwide panic. Think about what COVID has done to the world. You think about that. The fear that suddenly we saw literally in everybody. The panic. We saw fear and panic on a level that I have not seen in my lifetime. There are all kinds of fears that people have. They have fear of disease. Obviously, that would be like COVID. The fear of death. People fear dying. The fear of losing a job. Maybe the fear of public speaking. I often get people coming up and say, "I could never do what you do, stand up and speak to people." Many people have that fear of public speaking. Many people have what we call what? Phobias, right? There are those that have a fear of spiders. How many of you have a fear of spiders? All right. Chet, you raised your hand awfully quickly there. All right. Chet said yes. Spiders. Fear of snakes. How many of you fear snakes? One of the worst things that happened to me when I took my trip over to Tanzania was that they gave me some medication that I had to take for malaria, so I wouldn't get malaria. And so I had to take that so many days prior to going, the whole time I was there. When I came back, I had to keep taking that medication. And I started dreaming about snakes every time I would go to bed at night. I almost did not want to go to bed at night. I almost dreaded closing my eyes. And then I Googled it and found out it was a side effect of that prescription the doctor had given me, that anti-malaria prescription. But I'll tell you this, I don't like snakes. I don't like snakes at all. Then there's the fear of being alone. There's the fear of enclosed spaces. The fear of flying. The fear of heights. I have a little bit of that too. How many of you have the fear of heights? You don't like to get up on ladders or climb telephone poles, whatever you do for a hobby. People fear all kinds of things except what they ought to fear. Now think about that statement. They fear all kinds of things except for what they really ought to fear. The Gospel of Luke chapter 12 verse 5 says, "But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." Instead of fearing God, it seems like the average person today wants to debate you on whether God even exists. And then they refer to God as the man upstairs. Very irreverent and very sacrilegious to say that. I hope that none of you ever say that. I know that often I hear it out in the culture today, but I hope no Christian would ever refer to God as the man upstairs. However, according to our text that we're about to read here in Revelation chapter 6, one day all of humanity will fear the wrath and the judgments of a holy God. Every person. Luke 21, verse 26. I'm going to get to Revelation 6, all right? Luke 21, verse 26, "Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken." What is he talking about there? He's talking about natural disasters. He's talking about the powers of heaven. He's talking about the stars and what we're going to look at tonight concerning asteroids and He's saying there will be fear that will come upon all humanity. Now let's read our text. Revelation 6, and we're going to read verse 12 down to verse 17 as we finish up this chapter here tonight. And I, again, this is the Apostle John in a vision that he is being given by the Lord. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens, or the caves, and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks. Now notice who they're speaking to here. Speaking to the mountains and the rocks. Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now notice in verse 15 and 16 that sinners, that is lost people, are terrified as they find themselves experiencing the wrath of God. The prophet Isaiah talks about this day in Isaiah chapter 2 verse 19. And they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. Well, I believe that Isaiah was catching a futuristic picture of exactly what John is visualizing here in Revelation chapter 6. Now, let's divide this passage of Scripture up into three main points, all right? And let's study it together. Number one, I want you to see the severity of the judgments. The severity of the judgments. We see this in verses 12 through 14. The Old Testament prophet Joel describes similar disasters like this associated with what he calls the day of the Lord. And it's the same as what we find right here in our text. Let me read some verses from Joel chapter 2. Let's begin in verse 10. The earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Drop down to verse 30 and 31. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. Now notice here that Joel is describing a picturesque future image of what also John is seeing right here in Revelation chapter 6. By the way, Jesus himself in the Olivet Discourse describes the events of what we are studying here tonight called the sixth seal. Listen to Matthew 24, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verse 11. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, that is, different places, and famines and pestilences and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. Luke 21, verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Every one of these verses that I've read here tonight, whether we're reading the verses here in Revelation 6, whether we're looking at Joel chapter 2, or whether we're looking at what Jesus stated in the Gospels, we know that during the tribulation period, there will be unprecedented natural disasters, right? There's no way to miss that as we read all of these verses. So let's look again at the verses here in Revelation 6, because there are six natural disasters that are mentioned here. These are massive cataclysmic events that will happen on earth and also up in space. Let's begin to list them. Number one, there is a great earthquake, right? Look at verse 12 again. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. Now, it's interesting to study a little bit about earthquakes. The National Earthquake Information Center records an average of 20,000 earthquakes every year. That's about an average of 50 to 55 earthquakes that take place every day around the world. Now, have you ever been somewhere where you experienced an earthquake? Raise your hand, all right? We experienced a lot of them in Japan. We would frequently have earthquakes, most of them not real big, most of them just little tremors that we would experience, but there have been some pretty big ones over there in Japan. They estimate that millions, yep, you heard me right, millions of earthquakes occur every year that are too weak to be recorded. But there's a lot of shaking and rumbling that's taking place around the world. Each year in Southern California, in that area, they experience about 10,000 earthquakes, the majority of which go unnoticed. The majority of them, you never even feel them. You don't even know that they happen. But they say 10,000 earthquakes in the Southern California region every year. Almost 80% of all the Earth's earthquakes occur along the rim of the Pacific Ocean, what is commonly called the Ring of Fire. How many of you have heard about that? This region encircles the Pacific Ocean and is home to 452 volcanoes. The largest recorded earthquake in the United States was a magnitude 9.2 that struck Prince William Sound of Alaska on March 28, 1964. That was the largest earthquake that has been on American land. I know we don't often think of Alaska at times. It's way up there, but Alaska is part of the United States of America. Now, the largest recorded earthquake in the world was a magnitude 9.5 in the country of Chile on May 22nd, 1960. But according to what we've just read here in Revelation 6 and verse 12, there is coming a more powerful and more devastating earthquake than any previous one that we have ever experienced or even heard about. An earthquake of this magnitude will have a worldwide effect. And by the way, I believe the earthquake is mentioned first because much of what we read afterwards are symptomatic, or it is because of the earthquake that we see the other natural disasters taking place here in these other verses. Throughout human history, God has used earthquakes to shake the earth in order to make his presence felt among humanity. He did this when he gave the law to Israel on Mount Sinai. When Jesus died on the cross, there was what? An earthquake. When God released Paul and Silas from the jail in Philippi, we've been studying the book of Philippians on Sunday mornings. What did he use? He used an earthquake. The Bible says that one day God will again use a powerful earthquake in order to get man's attention. Keep in mind that these people who are experiencing this massive earthquake are those who have survived already what we have studied, and that is worldwide war and famine and widespread epidemic of deadly diseases. They have already experienced all of that, and now they will experience this massive earthquake and all the devastating consequences of it. Number two, we see here that the sun becomes black. Look at that there in verse 12. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. Now, sackcloth was rough clothing worn by those who were in mourning. It was usually made from the hair of black goats. And following the massive earthquake here we read about, the sun will turn black. How can we explain something so strange like that? Well, the late scientist, Dr. Henry Morris, I don't know how many of you like to read his works, but it's great when you have science and you marry that with Christianity, right? A Christian scientist. I also love Ken Ham down there in the Kentucky area. And if you haven't been down there to see the Ark or go through the Creation Museum, I really, really encourage you to do that at least one time in your life. Well, the late scientist, Dr. Henry Morris, who was one of the founders of the Creation Research Institute, explains that after such a gigantic earthquake, there will be tremendous volcanic eruptions spewing vast quantities of dust and steam and gases into the upper atmosphere. It's probably these effects that cause the sun to be darkened and then the moon to appear red. That's our third one. If you're taking notes, the moon becomes red. And we read that also right here in verse 12. And the moon became as blood. The ash and the smoke from the volcanic eruptions will literally eclipse the moon, causing it to look red as it attempts to pierce the smoke-darkened sky. Of course, this phenomena will affect every phase of life as a normal cycle of daylight and darkness will be disruptive. Then notice number four. Asteroids will bombard the earth. Asteroids will bombard the earth. Notice that here, if you will, in verse 13. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. There will be so many asteroids and meteors hitting the earth that the Apostle John here likens it to unripened figs falling from a tree that is blown by a strong wind. Can you imagine how out of the smoke-filled blackness of the sky, suddenly fiery balls plunge to earth? First, there's the earthquake, right? Then the sun is darkened. And then the moon is red. And then you suddenly have these asteroids, these meteorites that are falling and plunging to earth, literally fireballs plunging to the earth. Did you know that in 1994, an asteroid came within 24,200 miles of the earth? Now you say, that's a long ways. 64,200 miles from the earth. Now, whenever I was going back and doing some reading about that, scientists were quoted as saying this: if this had landed, for example, if it had hit in the San Francisco Bay Area, there would be nothing but utter devastation in a 100-mile radius. That's just one asteroid. They went on to say this, and I quote, if it landed not there but in the ocean, it would be even more devastating because it would ruin the entire Pacific Ocean basin and great tidal waves and floods would come. Maybe a vision of what we saw in the video a little bit earlier. I remember seeing the tsunami in Japan. How many of y'all remember seeing all the news clips of those waves that are coming in? You can actually Google it on YouTube and see some amateur footage of it. But those were pretty high waves. But can you imagine what they are saying here? The devastation of just that one asteroid in 1994, it came, they said, that close to Earth. That doesn't sound close to us, right? 64,200 miles away from Earth. That doesn't sound close at all. But for a scientist, they were saying, wow, that came really close to Earth. And they said if it had hit Earth, It would have been absolutely devastating. Another article stated that the last major asteroid to cause damage on Earth occurred in a sparsely populated region of Siberia in 1908. 700 square miles of forest were completely destroyed, and some wildlife were killed with it. But no human deaths were reported, which they were very grateful for. But what I'm trying to get at is this. This is going to be something that no person has ever seen before. The natural disasters that will take place during the tribulation period will be nothing to that we could compare with it all. I mean, what we go through right now is really no big deal. We talk about how things are really bad, you know. We talk often about that. We are going to be very, very grateful when we're not here for the tribulation period. We'll be glad that we're with the Lord in heaven, because these will be horrible, horrible times. Now, notice the fifth thing that is mentioned. The sky splits apart. Notice that in verse 14, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. Do you know what an asteroid blasting through our atmosphere causes? Well, it causes a vacuum, right? It's coming in to the Earth's atmosphere so fast. It causes a vacuum, and then the air rushes back and the heavens roll up upon themselves. That's the idea. If you've ever seen like a jet, have you ever seen a jet fly by? If you watch YouTube, you can see that, and they fly by so fast, and then you hear that pop sound. That's the idea, the imagery that you have here. That's what's being described in verse 14. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And then number six, mountains and islands are removed. Now, this is not hard to imagine with volcanic eruptions blowing the tops off of mountains and huge tidal waves erasing islands right off the map. Can you imagine? Due to this massive earthquake that we read about here in verse 12, there will be a shifting of the Earth's crust, causing severe changes in the topography of the world. It's hard to accurately and graphically describe the severity of these judgments. Back in 2011, when the tsunami hit Japan there in the northern part of the main island of Honshu, I heard a news reporter say this, and I wrote it down then. She said, "Is Mother Earth trying to give us a wake-up call?" And I thought to myself, "No, lady, God is." Not Mother Earth. God is trying to get your attention. And in the same way, again, God is trying to get the attention here of lost humanity with this sixth seal and all the natural disasters that we're reading about here in verse 12, 13, and 14. Can you imagine those islands? We like to at least dream of going to an island, right? We like to go to an island where there's sun and there's beaches and you just sort of relax. You just think of good things about it. But you know, one day, I don't think I want to be on an island. You know, when I think about this, number one, I'm not going to be here. But if I was going to be here, I don't think I'd want to be on an island. Because it says here that the islands will disappear. They'll be moved. Now, look at number two. The second main point that I want you to see is the scope of the judgments. The scope of the judgments. We see this in verse 15. Now, these natural disasters will affect the entire population, not just one geographic area, but it will affect the entire world. There are seven categories that are listed here that embrace all classes of society. I want to give them to you. You see them there in verse 15, but let's list them out. I believe they're there in your notes, and let's talk about each one. First, there's kings. That would be the heads of states around the world. They will certainly be shocked by what is transpiring. They've already experienced war and famine and deadly diseases of the magnitude of what we have never seen. If we think that COVID-19 has freaked people out, imagine what they're going to go through during the tribulation period. And then all of these natural disasters that are taking place, the kings, the heads of states around the world, it will certainly get their attention. Great men, that would be the high-ranking officials in government. Rich men, those who control commerce and business. Think for a minute, money isn't going to be any good at this point, is it? They're not going to be able to buy their way out of this. There's not going to be any bunker they're going to be able to create to get away from all this. You cannot, I'm going to talk about this in just a moment, but you can't hide from God. You can't do it. Chief captains, that would be military leaders. Mighty men, that would be the influential people. Then notice two expressions, every slave, every free man. That's the common people and the lower classes of society. Now, what I'm trying to picture here as I read verse 15 is this, that no one will be exempt from God's judgment. Everybody will be affected by this. From the influential to the insignificant, no one will be able to ignore this wake-up call from God. But the sad thing is, it doesn't wake them up. That is one of the saddest things when you read this through here, verse 12 all the way down to verse 15, you would think they'll all repent. You know, you think, wow, they're going to beg God for his grace and his mercy. Guess what? They don't. They don't. And that brings me to the source of the judgments. We see this in verse 16 and 17. Up until this seal, it seems like God's judgments go unheeded. People will no doubt attribute all these prior judgments to bad luck or misfortune or terrible accidents that have transpired. But notice that they attribute all the devastation of this sixth seal to God and God alone. Notice that in verse 16. And they said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? There's no doubt that they understand now that the source of the judgments come from God, right? God himself are sending these judgments. The world will be forced to acknowledge that every Bible preacher who warned them about divine judgment to come was right. That'll be interesting, won't it? Sometimes I wonder if, with all the modern technology, when we're gone, when we're raptured up, wonder if they'll still pull up Pastor Frazier on YouTube at Canton Baptist Temple. I thought about that before. That's a weird thought to have, but I wonder if they'll pull it up and go, he was right. He was right. Every Bible preacher, every Bible teacher, you know, sometimes you think, wow, you're preaching, it's falling on deaf ears. Well, one day they'll realize all the Bible preaching was true. It was true. But instead of repenting, instead of turning to God, notice that they make their prayer to Mother Nature. Notice that. They say, and said to the mountains and rocks, instead of talking to God and pleading and begging for forgiveness and mercy, they're talking to the mountains and to the rocks. They reject the rock of ages and they pray to the rocks. Boy, you talk about crazy. Let me make two observations here. Number one, people will not be able to hide. They will not be able to hide. It's impossible to hide from an omnipresent God. Ask Jonah. Jonah tried to run from God's calling upon his life. He said, no, I don't want to do that. He ran. He could not get away from God. And neither can you and me. And neither will those during the tribulation period. They will not be able to escape the judgment that God will pour out upon them. God said this to rebellious Israel in Amos chapter 9, verse 2 and 3. Though they dig into hell, thence shall mine hand take them. Though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down. And though they hide themselves in the top of Carmel, I will search and take them out thence. And though they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea, thence will I command the serpent, and he shall bite them. Now, what are these verses saying? You cannot hide from God. You can't do it. And tonight, you may be running from God. Maybe tonight you would say, I'm not right with God. Preacher, if you could look into my heart, you would know that I'm not right with God. I don't know that. I can't see your heart. All I do is see the surface. And I might understand who you really are spiritually in your walk with the Lord. But you will never make a mockery of God. God knows. God knows everything that is going on in our lives. And here tonight, I want you to really understand, if you're fighting God, if you're trying to run from God, or maybe even to try to oppose His calling upon your life, I want you to understand, you cannot hide from God. He is an omnipresent God. And He is with our missionaries tonight, wherever they are around the world. And He is right here with us tonight at the same time. And I have all of God here, and they have all of God there. Isn't that amazing? You say, I don't understand that. I don't fully understand it either, but I believe it. Amen? Because the Bible teaches it. And so we need to understand that we can't hide from God, and neither will the people during the tribulation period. They will not be able to hide. And then number two, people will not be able to stand. They'll not be able to stand against God. Nahum chapter 1 and verse 6 says, who can stand before His indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of His anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by Him. I think about what's going on in America today, and I think to myself, God has got to be pretty ticked off, you know? He's got to be really upset with the moral atmosphere of our country today. I think to myself, every lost person will not be able to hide during the tribulation. They will not be able to stand against the judgment, the wrath, the indignation of a holy God. No way. I read all this and I say to myself, the more sensible thing to do is to accept Christ as your personal Savior and don't be here when all this is happening. That just seems to be logical, doesn't it? You think through it and you go, you know what? I don't want to be a part of this. Right? I mean, I read that and say, I don't want to be a part of that. And so, you say, well, how can I not be a part of it? You accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And suddenly, your future is not the tribulation. Your future is heaven. And you're not going to have to worry about experiencing all that we are studying here about the tribulation period. Thank God there is a way out, and it's the way up. Right? By knowing you're saved today, you don't have to worry about going through the tribulation period. I have preached a whole message on why I am a pre-tribulational preacher, why that's my position, and I give you biblical reasons. And I would encourage you, you can go back even online, our sermons that are archived on Wednesday nights, and you can listen to that message again to understand why we believe not in the mid-trib, not in the post-trib, but we believe in the pre-trib position when it comes to eschatology. And I don't believe that we as the bride of Christ, as the church, those of us who are born again by God's grace through faith in His Son Jesus Christ, we're not going to be here to experience any of these seals, none of the seal judgments. We're not going to be here to experience any of the trumpet judgments. We're not going to be here to experience any of the vial or the bowl judgments, but we will come back with Jesus when He comes back to fight the battle of Armageddon with the sword of His mouth, and we will rule and reign with Him in His millennial kingdom. I talked about how the 24 elders represent the raptured church. We will be in heaven worshiping our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ while all this is transpiring down here. I'm glad that we have been saved from the wrath to come. Amen. Now, many of you, no doubt, like to come to a prophecy study like this tonight, and you enjoy studying it. As a matter of fact, probably some of our most watched YouTube videos, Facebook videos, most well-attended services have dealt with prophecy. It intrigues people. And I'm not going to lie to you. Whenever I talked with our staff and as we were coming back again on Wednesday nights, I said, what do you think I ought to speak on? And they said, oh, speak on prophecy. That'll bring them back. People are interested in prophecy. But I want you to know something. I don't want to just mess with your head tonight. I hope this thing grabs a hold of your heart. Because there's people that we come in contact with every day that need Jesus. They don't have the hope that you have. They don't have the assurance of salvation. Many of them have got religion, but they don't have a relationship with God. Many of them are just sort of living life, and they think you live, you die, and that's it. You just cease to exist. And they don't seem to understand that every person has a soul, and that soul will spend an eternity either in hell or heaven. And so we need to be aware of those people that are living in our neighborhoods and people that we go to school with and people that we work with and family members and friends that we've had. Those people need Christ. Please don't just come and listen to all this and go, wow, that was interesting. I can't wait till next week. I hope you say, wow, this is interesting. I know somebody that needs Jesus, and get out there and witness tomorrow to somebody. We've got to understand there's a lot of people right now who are thinking about end times because of COVID-19. That which maybe we have termed as a very bad time in church history, and how it turned ministries upside down on their head. We need to understand that there are people out there that are seeking answers. They're looking for hope. And we can give them a message of hope. Please be a light wherever God has planted you and shine. Shine the light of the gospel to those that are around you. We need to see more new people come into the church, right? We need to see an influx of new people. And by the way, they're searching. People are visiting. We're having a number of visitors every Sunday in church. Many of them are coming here because their church doesn't preach the Bible anymore. And they're coming here and they're saying, wow, this first time we've had to open our Bibles in a long time and to study God's Word. And folks, people are searching for answers. They're looking for hope. They're looking for some answers to life's questions. Don't be silent. Don't commit the sin of silence. Talk to people about your Jesus. We sang tonight. Matt was leading in the song about what is that phrase, to see him. Oh, to see his face. You know, sometimes we get consumed with the idea, oh, I wish he'd come back today. There's days I want him to come back too, but I think, what about all these people who are lost? See? Sometimes it's all about us. I want out of here. Let's get out of here. Boy, I can't wait for the rapture. When the rapture happens, it's going to be too late for a lot of people. So we need to realize people need Jesus. Let's do everything in our power to win people to Christ, to bring them to a church that preaches the Bible. Right? Are you proud of your church? You ought to be proud of your church. I'm proud to be a part of Canton Baptist Temple. We're not a perfect church, but we're a great church. We got a lot going right. More right than wrong. Right? Right. We need to say it's a blessing to be a part of this church. So I just want to encourage you when you leave here tonight, don't leave here just saying, wow, all that was really interesting. And go back to your normal life. Wake up and see that people are all around you that need the Lord Jesus in their heart and life. Be a witness to them. Open your mouth. Give a testimony of what God has done in your life. And be a blessing to somebody this week. Amen.
You have been listening to Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Like Canton Baptist Temple on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Canton Baptist. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday to get a personal glimpse of what God is doing at our church. We'll meet you here again next week.